This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Trying to demystify this budget surplus spending and why I believe it's a really bad idea, because why not leave that budget surplus for the new governor, for potentially a Democratic majority in the Wisconsin State Legislature, because I think the Democrats will do a much better job of investing that money or leaving it there, right? We need to have an additional amount of money for state government to rely on if we are headed toward an economic recession. So that's the question that I asked you today on YouTube. Do you believe that we are headed toward a recession? 95% of you say yes. And I think that 95% of you are 100% correct. There is no way that corporate America is all of a sudden going to go on a hiring spree. For the last year and probably 3 months, there has been an orgy of layoffs. And I just don't see a flip of the switch anytime soon where they're going to say, oh, wow, you know, we laid off tens of thousands of people from the corporate workforce. Let's hire them all back and then pay them more wages. I just don't see that happening. So they're voting on the budget surplus plan today. Don't know if it's going to pass or not. I know a few Democrats have been vocal, especially those that are running for governor. Senator Kel DeRoy, she voiced her opposition. I saw an interview, or I think she just went live. Francesca Hong, who's a state assembly representative representing Madison, she voiced her opposition to it. It's just bad ideas. It's bad policy. It's bad politics. The Republicans see it as a win. Why are we giving them wins? They don't give Democrats wins. Republicans will be able to run on this in the fall, because right now they had nothing to run on. And the checks, the timing is perfect. You'll receive your check, assuming that this proposal passes and the governor signs it. You'll receive it September 15th. At the same time, you are going to be inundated by political commercials. The Republicans are going to spend a lot of money to convince you that Tom Tiffany is the best option. The check is going to hit. You're going to get your little $600 for married couples. When I say $600 for married couples, the wives are going to get that $600. And then $300 for single filers. I can already see the Tom Tiffany commercials right now. Hey, you're welcome. My Republican Party just put money in your pocket, money in your bank accounts. Giving that money back to you, or putting money in schools, because that's a part of the spend down plan as well, putting money into the common school fund. There's something with no tax on tips, which is a total Donald Trump big, beautiful bill idea and proposal that didn't exactly work out the way people thought it was going to. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. And then property tax relief. Like, that's a solid plan for the Republicans to run on. Whether they did any of those things and whether people are going to actually feel a noticeable difference, and maybe they will, I don't know, because we might be further into this recession than 95% of you believe that we are in right now, and what the Republicans are going to pitch to voters. Now, remember, they only got to convince 30,000 people. That is why this is so nerve-wracking. Our statewide elections, whether it be the Electoral College, which is decided by the popular vote here in Wisconsin, or who we vote for governor, it's between 25 and 27,000 votes. I think the largest margin that we've had in the last few cycles. You know who used to landslide Wisconsin? Obama, the black dude. I almost want to bring him back, or some version of him, but I don't think we'll ever have another. Like, you'll never have another Michael Jordan. Obama was the Jordan. He did the unthinkable. Even Europe was like, what? Y'all elected a black fella? Huh. Europe made the slave trade illegal before we did. Obama gets elected in 08, sworn in, inaugurated in 09. January of 2009. Do you know that Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize? One of the reasons why I think Donald Trump, his little wee-wee gets stiff thinking about getting a Nobel Peace Prize. Ain't nobody going to give Donald Trump no Nobel Peace Prize. But Obama won one. Do you remember this? Obama didn't do anything except get elected as a black person in the United States of America. Here's what they said. Because like a Nobel Peace Prize, it's hard to get. You have to invent like electricity or something. Like you have to invent more water. You have to do something real big. You got to do Dr. King stuff and then probably get assassinated, too. Like that usually comes with it because you have to do something so monumental that it shifts global society. So Barack Obama, just to give you an example of how goated Obama is. Michelle keep messing with him. I think he need to file on her ass. That's what I think. I know some of y'all don't like when I say that, but wait till I get to the details of what she's tripping. Why you always got to trip, Michelle? Why can't we just work this out, no? I feel like I need to be their marriage counselor. So Obama gets the Nobel Peace Prize, and I remember watching the press conference. In fact, I used to play his acceptance speech. I used to play it all the time in WNOV because he didn't even understand why they would give it to him. He didn't do anything. In his mind, he hadn't accomplished anything yet. Like, he hadn't put together his legislative agenda. He didn't do the Affordable Care Act yet. He didn't kill Osama bin Laden yet. Like, he had all that stuff hanging over his head. The banks were still in trouble. Our automakers were going bankrupt. He didn't fix none of that stuff yet when he got the Nobel Peace Prize. They said that because he was going to repair broken relationships with other countries, that's why they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize. He hadn't been in office long enough to repair anything. But they recognize this committee of people that decide who gets the Nobel Peace Prize because they know America, quite honestly, better than we do. We don't really know American history that well. As Americans, we don't know it. But Europe does know it. In fact, they look at the United States as a part of what their future is going to be. That's why myself and Dr. Ken did several interviews with the British Broadcasting Corporation ahead of the 2024 election. Because the folks over in Europe wanted to know in battleground state Wisconsin, particularly folks in Milwaukee and people that engage with voters and engage with residents and citizens in Milwaukee, like black talk show hosts do. We got interviewed several times because Europe was worried that Donald Trump was going to pull the United States out of NATO. Like, talk about presence of mind and forethought. Talk about wanting to be able to predict the future. So they schedule interviews. Well, myself and Dr. Ken. You know how crazy it was to see the damn BBC camera crew walking around here at the Third Street Market Hall? And we got some big brands here. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of ESPN. I don't know if you ever heard of TMJ. Yeah, TMJ, the radio station. TMJ, the Milwaukee Journal. The same TMJ that's also our television station. So you got the BBC camera crew walking around the Third Street Market Hall. And everybody's like, oh, they must be here for TMJ. No, they must be here for ESPN. Like, no, they was looking for me and Dr. Kent.
Oh, hello. We're from the British Broadcasting Corporation. Can you point us in the direction of... Oh, you mean TMJ? No. I believe his name is Sherwin Hughes. I believe that's him.
Oh, you should have seen how disappointed my colleagues were that they weren't going to be broadcasting to a half a billion European homes. No, those were crazy times. Yeah, I thought Kamala was going to do it, but, you know, whatever. Obama gets a Nobel Peace Prize because they knew how impossible it should be for a black person to get elected. And I don't know if we could do it again. I don't know if I'm going to go through the stress because the country feels like it's more outwardly racist. Are you guys familiar with, actually, you might have to help me with this dude's name, Chud something, Chud
Chud the Builder.
That's him. Holy smokes. I'm assuming you're familiar with what he does.
I'm familiar. I'm just surprised why black people are so mesmerized by this guy. It's not that impressive.
It's not about being impressive. This is not the rabbit hole I want to go down. It's more disappointing. So you, for those of you that don't know, and I don't blame you for not knowing. In fact, me having this conversation about him is now going to get you to know somebody that you otherwise wouldn't know. So here's what he does. He's, I guess I'd call him a content creator. He actually got arrested. I think in the last 24 hours he got arrested. Not because of what he does making his content. I guess he walked out of a restaurant and didn't pay his bill, so he got arrested. So Chud the Builder walks around with a camera in Nashville, Tennessee, calls black people the N-word with the hard ER ending, says it right to them, says it to individual black people, says it to groups of black folks, right? And then, of course, imagine the anchor. But they don't do anything to him. And then when they don't do anything, I'm going to give you a reason why they don't do anything. When they don't do anything, when they don't attack him and kill him, like, wouldn't you expect calling a group of African-Americans, and 99% of the time it's black men, groups of black men, calling them the N-word and recording it, recording their reactions, recording Chud the Builder calling these groups of, and these are men that he does not know, obviously, calling them the N-word and then recording their reactions. You would think that they'd get really angry and want to do something to him. And when they don't do anything, and they never do, he says, "All y'all are chimping out." Like, talk about a double whammy insult. Now, obviously, it's stupid and it's something that we shouldn't fall for. We shouldn't take the bait. But I've always been under the impression, because I know what I have done when a white person has called me the N-word and they use the hard ER ending and they mean it. Because when they use it, it can only be a one-way directional reference to the last thing that an African-American heard before their neck broke while they were getting lynched. So when you think of the word in that context, when they say it, that's what images are conjured up in my mind. It's the last thing that they hear before their necks break when they're getting lynched. And so I've dealt with it in a number of ways when someone has called me that word or called anybody in my circle that word. We made sure that we showed the person that called us that word that it's not in your best interest to ever do that. All right, so Chud the Builder, walking around Nashville, calling groups of black people, black men in particular, the N-word, and they don't do anything. And when they don't do anything, he says they're chimping out. But here's the thing, he's got a pistol in his pocket. But I thought that when somebody uses that word, that we will respond in a way that discourages them. And what I'm starting to see and what I think he's trying to communicate, and then I think there's a larger message here. We'll still let white folks talk to us any old kind of way. But if a black person says something offensive to another black person, because here's the thing, when a black person uses the N-word to another black person, there's a way in which you can use it where it can be offensive, but it's in the context of the larger disagreement, the larger argument, right? We will kill each other in a second. We'll know that the other person is armed. Maybe we're armed too. But if black people, black men in particular, if we don't know each other and we have an argument, we have a beef, just watch the news or look at the news stories every single day. Look at your social media feeds. We are blowing each other's brains out for a lot less. Yet this white boy in Tennessee and call us the N-word and we don't do nothing. And I think that they use that as like an example of we as white folks, even as they delve into the minority population-wise, can still treat black folks any old kind of way. The amount of disrespect that I've just witnessed, like professionally, of how white folks in office settings and corporate settings can blatantly disrespect somebody black and we just take it. Yet that same black employee will cuss out their black manager or cuss out their black boss with no problem. But if the white coworker says something that's egregious or offensive, it's wild. It's like the mentality is still stuck with us, that we're still afraid of them. Still afraid of them. Take a break, come back. I'm not getting to the Obama story yet, but I got to. Michelle just need to leave him alone. Bob Bauman wants to do something that we suggested here. Put a fence up around Water Street. We've been saying that here on my show for all year. And I use Beale Street as a reference. You guys remember that, right? Oh, we got to do something on Water Street because we don't need all the violence in our entertainment district because we need people to spend money and bring their wallets. And if they come into town from somewhere else, we want them to go to Water Street and want them to go to the Deer District. So I suggested that we do what has worked in other cities. Now, it's unsightly, and it does give the appearance that the area is unsafe, but you gate it off. If you want to have an entertainment district that is free from trouble and violence, you gate it off. You got entry points. You got exit points. Maybe you make people pay a small nominal cover charge so then we can offset the cost of police overtime. You can wand everybody. You can make sure that nobody has a gun. But you can also assure a higher level of safety inside of the Water Street perimeter. We talked about that 6 ways from Sunday on this show. And so Bob Bauman is proposing exactly that. And it's essentially going to take people that are going out on Water Street and treat them like rats in a cage. But, you know, that's kind of what we are. I'm taking a break, come back. We have no idea what Alan wants to talk about. It doesn't even matter, even if he tells you, X, what he wants to talk about. They'll probably drift. 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017 is our telephone number. Let's take a look at our poll. Do you believe the U.S. is headed into a recession is our YouTube poll for the day. Oh, the percentage went up. 96% of you think that we are headed for a recession. All the more reason for Governor Evers to not sign this proposal that would give away our state government surplus, because if we are in fact headed for a recession, we're going to need those additional dollars in the state coffers to keep money flowing to counties, because they are the ones that deliver social services that become in higher demand when we are in economic recessions. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's talk to Alan. Hello, Alan. How are you doing?
Hey, Sherwin. I'm doing all right. I'm sitting here waiting at the Family Dollar. I got to go inside and get some sugar-free butterscotch candy. And I was listening to you, and you know what? I agree. First of all, Robin Voss has never been a conservative. I don't think he is. And he does things that just really let you know that the guy's a clown. This thing here is one of the dumbest things I've ever. I agree with you, like wholeheartedly. It's one of the dumbest things that they've ever done, and they've done. It's like Republicans don't know how to win. We don't. It's like we have a losing state of mind, and it's just depressing. But yeah, that was horrible. So I agree with you on that. And what else were we talking about? Oh, you were talking about the white races. Yeah, it's everywhere you go, man. Alan, why do you think I go like the hot?
Let me interject for a second. So you say the Republicans don't know how to win. Here's what I would say to that, Alan. They don't need to know how to win. They just need to know how to beat the Democrats. That's
but
all
they don't
they
even
do.
Beat the Democrats.
Oh, they are with this one.
We win. No, they're not. This was the dumbest. I can't. No, I hate Evers. I'm going to tell you the truth. I really do. I despise him. But I can't even see where he's coming from with this stupid thing. You know, why would you waste that money for what? It don't make any sense. It's like throwing more money at MPS. It just don't make sense. There's no, you know, the way to get kids is what you do. You got to pay teachers based on merit, not just because you're in a union. Oh my, I agree with you though. You know, I do. So there you go. You keep going. Maybe I'll end up voting for a Democrat. Who knows? I did it once. I feel like I got screwed over, but maybe I'll try it a second time.
Wait a minute. What Democrat did you vote for?
I voted for Ms. Pratt. I went out and campaigned for her.
You voted for an alder person.
Have you ever voted a Democrat?
But if you go and vote in an alder, that's a local election. There's no partisanship.
But it's a Democrat.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
There's no partisanship on the county. Okay, fair enough.
I've never voted for a Democrat for a national office. Okay.
So then you never voted for a – technically, you never voted for a Democrat then. You voted for a black woman in your aldermanic district.
Well, yeah, I guess, but I crossed the line there by, you know, personal belief.
Also, Alan, hold on. You didn't have a Republican to choose from. There was no conservative running in the first aldermanic district. So if you were to vote for an alder person to represent you in your district, you only had Democrats to choose from. I don't count.
Yeah, but we had more than one. We had the guy who became a traitor. What's his name? The black dude who was coming, asking me to help him. I switched over from him to Ms. Pratt because the guy lied. And then he started talking about how much he hated white people. And I went and told him at his house. I'm like, well, you know, I hate to tell you, buddy, but I'm white. And here's your dang signatures I got. And I kind of tore them up and left.
I don't know who you're referring to, but they're probably a Democrat, too.
Yeah, so. You'll find him. You'll find him. He was independent. They wouldn't... He wouldn't listen to no advice about nothing. He wanted to get interviewed and I had a network and didn't even know how to go about it. He ran the whole thing silly.
All right. Thank
you, Alan. Community. Anyway, okay. Thank you, my friend. I got to go in here and get this stuff. I'll see you next. By the way, I'm giving another shout out to the corned beef place up here on North Tatonia, right north of the McDonald's off of Good Hope. Just keep going. They are fantastic. The girl gave me an extra, she gave us an extra Reuben roll the other day. Always gives me a smile when I come in. It's a great place to go.
All right. Thank you very much.
We got another one. Thank you. God bless you, man. That's my shopping report. The economy's going good for us, I guess. I don't know. Money's coming from the market. I can't explain that either, though. I can't.
All right, then. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Have a good day. Okay. Then. All right. That's... I mean, I can't get mad at him because how often do I say I'm going to break? 10 minutes later, going to break. Republicans hold a 54-seat majority in the assembly where 50 votes are needed for passage. The Senate presents a tougher challenge. Republicans hold an 18-seat majority there and 17 votes are needed for passage. All right, whatever. City leaders to discuss security perimeters at Milwaukee Entertainment Districts. Oh, plural, maybe more than one. Are they going to fence off Brady Street too? Brady Street has come full circle. So in the 90s, so I got my driver's license in 1991. And I was really able to explore the city when I got my license. And Brady Street was to be avoided. So all of the businesses you see now, all the bars, all the restaurants that you see on Brady Street, it wasn't like that back then. That's where the junkies hung out. It was heroin junkies, and you had to watch where you walked because in the gutter you would see discarded needles. Now, you got to keep in mind, 1991, that's AIDS time. You know what I mean? So Brady Street was disgusting. But what investment can do and what business improvement districts can do and what funding allocations can do. There's a whole generation of people that are alive right now that don't recall what Brady Street used to be. Bayview, too. Bayview was no destination. Bayview, well, still kind of is where the most racist white people lived and almost wanted to create their own white utopia. There's a lot of people that think Bayview is its own city. It's not. It's a neighborhood in the city of Milwaukee. So a lot of the civil rights marches in Milwaukee, Father Grappi and Vel Phillips and others, the NAACP Youth Council, that were marching for fair and open housing. They were marching against the housing covenants that I often read on this program. I make it a point to read them every 3 or 4 months just so people can get the policy perspective of why Milwaukee is segregated. It was written down into law.
when we would have these civil rights marches from the north side to the south side, we were marching into Bayview. The archival footage shows these white folks in Bayview holding up swastikas, white power, white pride signs, iron crosses, KKK insignia. So when my parents came to Milwaukee, that is what they knew of the South Side and of Bayview. And of course, because that is what my parents knew of the South Side and Bayview, I was told to avoid it at all costs. Now look at Bayview. Bayview has got a bar that is the only bar that I'm aware of that is not black owned. Even black owned bars have taken out their Black Lives Matter signs and placards out of the window. Talk about full circle. Brady Street used to be a place that nobody wanted to hang out. And now, not only is it a destination, it's overrun by black people. So much so that they have to put in additional security measures to protect the businesses. It's just amazing how history just does these weird flip-flops. Milwaukee leaders are discussing creating security perimeters around downtown entertainment districts. Alderman Robert Bauman, who represents the downtown district, sponsored a measure at Wednesday's Public Works Committee meeting, that must be this morning, that directs multiple city agencies to draft a plan to create security zones in entertainment districts. So let me just say this. I'm all for it. You got to do something. They tried the food truck idea. You guys didn't like that. I don't know. You guys got you. So much food from food trucks. I was actually shocked at the number of people that usually don't chime in on local political issues that got outright mad. Oh, my God, they're closing the food trucks at 10 o'clock. So hang on a second. Just help me understand this for my own edification. I'm going to say this, and I really am going to go to break. I promise I will. I'm not going to be like Alan. I thought we want more grocery stores. Isn't that the thing? Because we have food deserts. We need more grocery stores where you can get the fresh fruits and the vegetables and the produce. So we really want more grocery stores. Okay, if we want more grocery stores, are we getting our food from food trucks or grocery stores? Because I was just shocked at the number of people. How dare you close the food trucks at 10 o'clock? First of all, who in the hell is going to Water Street to a food truck unless you're already down there? And a lot of the people that chimed in don't go down to Water Street and hang out. But it's citywide, though. Maybe that has something to do with it. So it wasn't just the Water Street food trucks. It's all the food trucks everywhere in the city. Got to be shut down by 10 o'clock. But worry not. A Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, Gene Keyes, her, one of those judges, put a restraining order on the city's ordinance to shut the food trucks down. So guess what? The food trucks can now stay open till 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. So there you go. Disaster averted. But that plan was proposed. Well, let's close the food trucks and make them close at 10 o'clock, because if you have an element hanging out on Water Street specifically, that's causing a lot of problems, and there's fights and there's street takeovers and there's even shootings. And a lot of them are not of age, so they're not even going into the bars and helping those bars make money and make revenue. Well, you don't want to make it a comfortable place for those loiterers to hang out. So you take away the food trucks, because if you're trying to clear an area out, don't make it a big open air restaurant. And then I understand the attempt, but it wasn't a very popular idea. I'm always in favor of, damn it, I said I was going to break. I need more discipline. There are things that other cities have done that have been successful, but for some reason, Milwaukee thinks that it doesn't. It can't do what's worked somewhere else, including educating black children. Whole bunch of places had a problem with low levels of reading and reading comprehension and math comprehension, and they were able to turn that stuff around. But not us here. No, we can't do what works somewhere else. That would just be too commonsensical. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
So it looks like, at least on its face, the city of Milwaukee is considering gating or fencing at least one entertainment district. I guess the food truck proposal wasn't quite very popular. Quote, "The trend we're on with the violence on Water Street is very, very concerning," Alderman Bauman said. "If the perception takes hold that downtown is somehow unsafe and dangerous, that perception will be very difficult to dislodge." Bauman said the plan would examine different options the city could consider to secure the perimeters of any entertainment district, including Water Street and Brady Street. It would be an 8-foot fence like the, would it be an 8-foot fence like the Republican convention? Those very nasty, evil looking black heavy steel fences, or would it be something more delicate, shall we say? And would it be effective? And what's the experience of other cities that have tried this, Bauman said. So years ago, and I don't know if they do this anymore, the way our council, so they have these different budgets, right? And so they have a travel budget, which if you would see some of the trips that our council members take, they go to other cities and they go party. It's weird. So back in the day, so when I worked for city government, good God, 22 years ago? Am I really that old? Yikes. Members of the council would go to other cities to look at how they implement different plans, different policing strategies, how they implement like safety plans, etc. They would take trips to, I don't know, Houston or Dallas or New Orleans, or they would look at how other cities handle safety and security when it comes to big festivals. They would take these travel junkets and they would come back and try to implement those ideas here. But they would go to other cities and talk to other mayors and talk to other members of the council and talk to other members of state legislatures from other regions in the country. And they would bring some of those best ideas back. This doesn't happen. I got a pet peeve with that, because Milwaukee clearly doesn't have all the answers. Because a lot of times we're just asking you all what the hell we should do. Our elected officials don't know, but there's also this, I'm seeing the erosion of decorum, and I know when I bring this up, some members of the council get upset, and I really don't care. It should be your steadfast honor to serve constituencies in the city of Milwaukee. It should be. They chose you to represent them and to protect them and to help them and to handle our legislative affairs. This is a very, very big deal. And I know that we may diminish the role because members of the council aren't doing what we want them to do, or we're looking at all the crime that still exists and we're diminishing them, saying, oh, they're no good, they're terrible people, they're not doing enough, especially the black ones. Oh, the black elected officials aren't doing enough for black people. There was a time where you would never catch a member of the council wearing a hoodie and some joggers and some tennis shoes. If you were in a room, if you were in a meeting, if you were at an event, you knew who the elected officials were. Back when we had 26 county board supervisors, they dressed the part. They took their jobs seriously. And I know with this younger generation, everything is more casual. But if you are in an elected position, there is an obligation that I think that you have to be sophisticated and to show and illustrate the importance of that role. Like if somebody works for a bank, you're a loan officer or you're a vice president, you have one of these corporate jobs, and let's say I go into the bank to get a business loan. You think that I would feel comfortable sitting down with somebody wearing some basketball shorts and a raggedy t-shirt? You know, one of them t-shirts where the neckline is all stretched out. I'd walk out. This is unprofessional. Like, I got an issue. And so with Fetterman, the Pennsylvania congressman that wears these nasty, dirty, ripped up, holy, oversized hoodies and these shorts to the U.S. Senate, the most significant and deliberative political body on planet Earth. There is no legislative grouping of people on the planet that can make more consequential decisions than the U.S. Senate. And dude shows up looking like a complete and total bum. They actually tried to pass dress code rules for the U.S. Senate because he comes looking like a complete and total greaseball. And we, not that I'm comparing the U.S. Senate to members of the Common Council, but there was a time where the men of the council wore shirts and ties and suits. Now, if they're out in the community, that's a little different. But it's hard to take them serious. And yeah, maybe it is a generational thing, but the importance of the job has not changed. And I would say now it's probably more important than ever because the problems that we have are so much larger and they've gone unresolved for so long. It almost seems like they are intractable. And I want to be able to take some of these folks serious. Like there's some that I won't even interview because they'll come here looking disheveled. At least put on a button down shirt. Now, I ain't going to tell the women folk what to wear. But I think that the women on this council dress decidedly better than the men. Bauman said the plan would examine different options the city could consider to secure the perimeters of any entertainment district, including Water Street and Brady Street. Would it be 8-foot fences like the Republican convention, those very nasty, evil-looking black heavy steel fences, or would it be something more delicate, shall we say? What do you mean delicate, Bob? Like with Chantilly lace on the fences? Let it look like a prison. Now use them big black steel. Make it look like jail. Maybe that'll deter some of the people. If Water Street is gated off and it looks like prison, then maybe some of those folks that are going down there just to cause problems and disruption, maybe they'll stay away. Now, unfortunately, the people who are partiers and revelers, they're going to be the ones trapped in the cage like some rats. But maybe it should look a little bit more menacing. Get a couple of snipers on the roof. When the Republican National Convention came to Milwaukee in the summer of 2024, crews constructed tall, dark fences that surrounded the hard security perimeter. Do you think there's a possibility that we could see those fences like we saw during the RNC? Just around Water Street, WISN news reporter Kendall Keyes asked, those specific kinds of fences? I certainly hope not. I don't know that I support that look, but that's a possibility, Bauman said. So then dress them up. Paint them blue and yellow and red. Bauman said the perimeters could include checkpoints. We mentioned that too. Likely for weapons, maybe even checking IDs. I'm all for this. That's exactly what we talked about on this program, and you all seem to have some agreement with it. And we may have even done a YouTube poll. You know what I need to start doing is taking screenshots of our different YouTube polls, because once the show ends, the poll goes away. Because we have asked you all a series of questions about different directions the city of Milwaukee should move in mitigating some of these problems. In fact, I'm going to Memphis in July. I love Memphis. It's the South, but it's not too South. It's about as cosmopolitan as a mid-Southern city can be. And I remember fencing on Beale Street, hell, since I've been 21. And you just, it is what it is. But when you're there, and also there's no cars. We had, you guys remember when the people crashed through the barricades? Water Street was, it gets blocked off, right? Where no cars can, and I don't even know if they still do that, but some, it was a couple of years ago, and these two women blew through the barricade and ran over two white girls. And I think one of the white girls was down on Water Street for her bachelorette party. You guys remember this? A couple of years ago. And then we found out that the person that blew through the barricade didn't get charged. Like they ran, like the girl was in the hospital. She was in a coma. She was all messed up. I'm almost positive it was either her bachelorette party or it was a group of women that were down there. So these two women are crossing the street on Water Street, right by the barricade. The driver of the vehicle blows through the barricade and hits these two girls. And one of the women went flying because they showed the footage, the video footage of it. And then we come to find out that the drivers didn't get charged or they got like tickets or something after they blew through a barricade on Water Street and hit these two girls. And so what do we assume? We're like, oh, my God, white people can get away with anything. The driver was black. It was two black girls in the car. Ain't that crazy? So maybe we do need to put up some metal fences to also keep vehicles from being able to drive up and down Water Street. I'm going to take a break, come back. We'll talk to Al from Sherman Park on the other side. If you want to be like him or Alan or anybody else who calls the show, they all dial the same number. And it's 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Will be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Al from Sherman Park, you're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you, Sherman?
Doing okay. What's on your mind?
Thinking back to when I was in my college days in New Orleans, the way they did it, they just blocked off like Bourbon Street bollards, but then you don't have any parking. So then people have to use parking garages and walk over to the areas, and maybe they could tow cars, anyone who parks, say, after 6 or 8 or whatever.
Okay.
Maybe that might be the way to do it, and maybe it would discourage some of the loitering.
Okay.
So I think it's very doable. It's just whether or not we have the fortitude to get it done. I don't think it has to be ugly with big, you know, black 8-foot fencing.
I'm less concerned about aesthetics and more concerned about safety. And if you're 16 years old, you just ain't got no business down there with grown folks. It's just a bad idea. And you got 15 and 16 year olds starting fights with grown adults like that. That does not need to happen. And if you check, I like the idea of checking IDs. So to get inside the perimeter, if you want to go to a bar on Water Street, not only do you, you know, have to be of age, I want them to pay a cover charge as well, because a lot of those kids are not going to pay any money to be able to enter that entertainment district. So I'm all for it, because safety is a priority, not necessarily aesthetics. Put the fence up. Put snipers on the roof. Have dogs out there, too.
Welcome to your 50s, Sherwin.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it so very much. Thank you for your call, Al.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Then you, too. So maybe we should have a parking garage. LT said it was July of 2025 when those women, it was two women in a vehicle and they blew through a barricade. I don't know how they didn't get charged for that. That's reckless driving, right? That's not what we want people to do, to blow through the barricades. It was two black girls, too. It's crazy. Well, let's see what we got here in the YouTube chat. Let's check our poll. Do you think that we are headed toward a recession? Oh, it's gone down a little bit. 94% of you think that we are headed toward an economic recession. I think I'd go ahead and call that a consensus, because there's no way that we aren't headed toward jobs. Well, jobs are already laying people off. But spending is still really, really high. But, of course, that's going to hit a wall, because your discretionary spending is going to have to go down. Like, you know, going out to dinner and that kind of stuff, that's a real gauge of the economy. And it seems like you all are still going out to dinner, because I'm seeing a review of a new restaurant opening up in Milwaukee just about every single day. I am worried that we are reaching critical mass with restaurants. The restaurant industry in this city must be doing well. Well, you had the Michelin rating people. A Michelin rated restaurant means it's an international destination, that restaurant meets such stringent standards for quality, for service, and for food. Because, like, the Michelin is like the gold star. You got James Beard. That's if you have a James Beard. We got a bunch of those James Beard award winning restaurants in Milwaukee. But Michelin is like the absolute pinnacle. And they were here about a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to find out how many Michelin rated restaurants we have here in the city of Milwaukee. A little interesting fact about how you get the whole Michelin rating things. So when automobiles were becoming the cornerstone and the centerpiece of American manufacturing, of course, you got Goodyear and Bridgestone and Dunlop, all these companies that make tires. And Michigan was like, we need people to drive more. More people are buying cars and we're building more highways. Michigan was like, okay, if people drive more, then they're going to wear their tires out faster. So let's rate restaurants all over the country. It's genius when you think about it. Let's rate restaurants all over the country so that people take road trips to visit the restaurants and wear out their tires. Because while they're going to these highly rated restaurants, they're driving their vehicles. They're making a vacation out of it. They're traveling across the country and they're wearing out their tires and they're going to buy more tires. That's marketing. Some of y'all have been to Michelin rated restaurants in different cities. Some of you have driven to them. Some of you, I have Michelin tires on my vehicle. There you go. Go figure. It's funny how the world works. I was going to give you guys some information about how the recession, which you clearly believe that we are either in or headed toward, how it will impact local government and state government. Because earlier in the program, I tried to make the case that spending our government surplus ahead of an economic recession is a very, very bad idea. And there's also this weird connection. I shouldn't say it's weird. Everything is connected, weird or not. In bad economic times, crime goes up. I want to draw a direct connection between economic recession, mass layoffs, higher levels of unemployment, and increasing crime. And it's not just people going hungry because they're unemployed and they're stealing, whatever. I mean, that's some of it. But a lot of the social services that we have that are delivered through county government will shutter, or they will be underfunded and they will not be able to support the numbers of people that they'll need to, especially if we head toward economic recession and more people are reliant on some of these social services. The social services that we have right now, and they kind of play in the background, and I probably should give you guys a list of all the different social services and anti-poverty programs that are issued by Milwaukee County, but that's what counties do. They take money and get money from the state. Counties are almost complete functions of state government. But because Madison can't deliver resources and services effectively and efficiently in all of the 1,851 cities and towns in Wisconsin, we set up county governments to deliver those services right there in those counties, you see. But state government is the vehicle that funds these services. And as the economy worsens and there's less sales tax revenue, because during a recession, people are spending less. There is less income tax revenue if people are not working. That's less revenue that goes to these social services that counties deliver. The reason why we don't have 10 homicides per day instead of, I don't know, 10 per week is because those services are well funded and you're keeping some people off of the streets. You're getting people some of the drug rehabilitation that they may need. But when those services lose their funding in an economic recession, the surplus that we have could supplement those services. But if you spend the surplus, then we're out here booty butt naked. Brandon's on line one, but I only got 40 seconds until I have to take a break. So we're not going to talk to Brandon right now. But Brandon, you stay there. We're going to take our little intermission and we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Brandon. So have we agreed fences on Water Street? Just fence them up. No. Xavier says no fencing on Water Street. How about German Shepherd guard dogs and lots of pepper spray and lots of tasers? I'll volunteer to tase somebody. You ever wonder what it feels like to get tased? You ever been tased before? You ever?
No.
Okay. Me either. But I certainly would tase somebody. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.